From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome in the Saviour's name to our Gospel broadcast. I'm glad you're joining us today, and here to Let the Bible Speak is the Reverend John Greer.
Once more I want to bring your attention to the words of Hebrews 10 and verse 2, the words, once purged, no more conscience of sins. Here in these verses the Apostle Paul is clearly showing that what the Old Testament sacrifices could not do, the sacrifice of Christ has accomplished. That is, it has removed sin. It brings about the situation where the person who trusts that sacrifice will have no more conscience of sins. And we're seeing here, since we started this study last week, that it is Christ's sacrifice or Christ's atonement that satisfies divine justice. God will not pass by sin. Sin must be dealt with. God's wrath must be answered. His divine requirements must be met. And this is what we find Christ doing when he came into the world. He came to offer up himself, to give himself as a sacrifice for sin, so that divine justice would be satisfied, and therefore men could have this great blessing of no more conscience of sins. Now the Lord's sacrifice had a particular value in that it was the offering up of Christ himself, the offering up of a real person who was both God and man, and therefore the sacrifice had this particular value to meet the divine requirements and satisfy divine justice. Christ's sacrifice then has a pleasing value. In verse 6, we find the Lord Jesus actually speaking, as Paul quotes from Psalm 40, and he says, "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure." Now, in those sacrifices or the Levitical offerings, the Lord had no pleasure. They did not please him, in other words, because they were not possessed of the property required to satisfy his justice and his holiness. But the Lord's sacrifice, Christ's sacrifice, had a pleasing value, namely the value of his own absolute and active obedience to the divine will, as verse 7 reveals. And Christ says in verse 7, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He came to do the Father's will, and he did it. So when he came to die his atoning death, there was in it all the pleasing value of his life of perfect obedience, a life without spot and without blemish. Such was foreshadowed in the animal sacrifices, in that they had to be free from blemish. But it was only a foreshadowing. It was Christ who gave the obedience required. He is the one in whom the Father was and is well pleased. And therefore, when the Lord came to offer up himself at Calvary, he offered the life of absolute purity. He offered up a sacrifice, therefore, of a pleasing value. God was pleased with the sacrifice of Christ because Christ had done his will. Christ had completely and utterly done the will of God. He had given a perfect obedience, and that therefore caused Christ's sacrifice to have a pleasing value in the sight of God. John 17 verse 4, Christ could say at the end of his earthly life and on the eve of Calvary, "I have glorified thee in the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do." The Lord Jesus had done the Father's will. And now as he comes to die, he knows that he has pleased his Father. And he knows that the sacrifice that he's about to make in giving himself for sin is a pleasing sacrifice, has a pleasing value. And oh, how good it is to know that God is delighted with Christ, with his life and his death, with his death because of his life, and therefore he is delighted and pleased to save all those who trust in that death and in that precious blood. If you will hasten to the work of Christ to rest by faith in his atoning death, then God will be delighted to save you and make you a new creature. Then the Lord's sacrifice had a propitiatory value. There's a value that satisfied and appeased the wrath of God. Now in these verses where our text lies, you'll find over and over again the use of the words offering and offered. These words indicate that there was an offering made, and furthermore, that there was one to whom the offering was made. That, of course, is God the Father. For example, back in chapter 9 and verse 14, it says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works?" Here it is. He offered himself to God. He offered himself to God as a sacrifice for sin in order to satisfy the righteous wrath of God. We must get this. We must understand this. The Lord's death was first and foremost objective in that he died to satisfy, propitiate the justice of his own Father in heaven. And unless we really grasp that truth, we will never understand the gospel at all. Jesus died not to make people happy. Jesus died not merely to deliver people from sinful situations. He certainly does give happiness, and he does save people out of their dire situations. But first and foremost, he died to satisfy or appease the wrath of a sin-hating God. And without that, there could be no salvation. Without that, there could be no such situation as we have here in these words, no more conscience of sins. But thank God, Christ has given a sacrifice of this propitiatory value. And the fact that it is of that value is seen in that it never needs to be repeated. Now, I put this out to you in my first study in these words, because we find in verse 2 this particular statement or question, really, "For them would they not have ceased to be offered?" In other words, that the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement made by Aaron had brought about the propitiation of God's wrath or justice, then there would have been no more need for such a sacrifice. But of course, as we saw, that sacrifice did not appease the wrath of God. It was only pointing forward, you see, to Christ. And it's Christ's sacrifice that has appeased divine wrath or propitiated God's justice. And therefore, it's Christ's sacrifice that was offered once for all. One offering. And in Romans 6, verse 10, we have the great statement, "He died unto sin once." And because his sacrifice was of this value, that is, this propitiatory value, it is accepted by God, it has met all his requirements, his justice is completely satisfied, his wrath is turned aside, and therefore there is salvation for men. And then the Lord's sacrifice had a perpetual value. That's brought out in this passage where you find these terms, once for all, one sacrifice for sins, one offering. In other words, the point is that though Christ died only once, the value of his sacrifice is perpetual and available to all who will seek him. God gives a once for all justification on the grounds of Christ's once for all atoning sacrifice. Oh, my friend, if you will rest in Christ today, you will rest in one whose work has this perpetual value, and you will be justified freely from all things and be declared righteous in the sight of God and have no more conscience of sins. So we find indeed that the Lord's atonement, the Lord's sacrifice, satisfies divine justice. It also then removes guilt from the sinner. No more conscience of sins, it says. Once purged, no more conscience of sins. The purging in view is the actual removal of guilt by the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And since the atoning death of Christ satisfies and propitiates the wrath of God, the result is the removal of sin's guilt from the one who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. The removal of guilt. No more conscience of sins. Now, this is known in our study of theology as expiation, sin and guilt removed from the sinner who rests in Christ. God first of all satisfied, and then the guilt of the sinner taken away. And we can say with the psalmist, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And that's the great goal in salvation, as far as our own experience and position are concerned. And remember that Christ's blood does remove sin. Sin is removed from the sinner himself by the atoning work of Jesus Christ. God is satisfied, then our sin is taken away, our guilt is removed. We think of the Day of Atonement, and on that great Day of Atonement, as described in Leviticus 16, the first goat died to symbolize the satisfaction of God's wrath and justice. And then the second goat had sin symbolically transferred to it, and it was then led away into the wilderness to symbolize the removal of sin, the purging away of sin. I tell you today, dear friend, the atoning death of Jesus Christ does remove guilt from men. And I urge you, therefore, to rest in Christ with all your heart and all your soul. You must go to him, and he will take away your sin. He will remove it. He's got the power to do so. He has got the potential to do so, because he has made a full atonement. He has satisfied God, and therefore he can take away your sin if you will go to him. And you can go to him personally and directly, even this very moment, and trust him for yourself. And if you do, you'll have no more conscience of sins. Peace for the soul is secured by the Lord's atonement. For the sinner who's troubled and convicted with a raging burden of guilt, here is the great assurance of peace. No more conscience of sins. Come and rest in Christ today, and his merit and his precious blood will make you clean, will purge your conscience, and give you a true peace. May God write his word on your heart.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.